Traveled 50 countries and alone? What?
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Dupree, scouring the globe to bring you stories of courage, passion, and resilience. If I could sum up this podcast into one word, I would use empathy. Now let's get inspired.
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I am your host once again, Brett Dupree. Today we have a wonderful interview with another amazing life coach who has her own podcast, and she's going to tell you all about it. But first, I'm going to tell you what's going on in my life, because if I can't be vulnerable, how can I expect my guest to be? My podcast is out one day late. So far, it's probably not going to be out until the 19th, because today is the 18th. But for some reason, to be honest, I lost my motivation. I don't know where I lost it. It's really weird. I think partly is because I'm gaining weight. When I gain weight, I lose motivation. I think it's just part of the, this is lethargic feeling of gaining weight. And so I need to put a stop to that and really work on my eating habits again. Plus, I think just the enormity of everything as a person of color who's half his family's black. This time sucks in many different ways. Number one, you have the people who are like, don't. I'm really sick of the term, I'm not racist. After someone says something or does something horribly racist. I think one of the problems is we don't like to accept all parts of us. I had this conversation with one of my spiritual friends, who I called her out on her fear, her obvious fear. Her reply to me was, I'm afraid of nothing. And the reality is, no one is afraid of nothing. That's just BS. But most of us, including myself sometimes, don't like really admitting the bad parts of us. The parts of us that we don't like to share out into the world. The part of us that are jealous. This part of us that are petty. The part of us that are racist. Or bigoted. Or homophobic. I was reading this tweet. I believe it was Jordan Peterson, and it was one of his many transphobic things he said. And one of the things he said was, if I don't want to date a trans woman, does that make me a bigot? That makes me a, or something, the left will tell you that, something along the line. And the idea is that is just ridiculous, is the idea. But the reality is, I'm in the same boat. I don't know if I could date a trans woman. And I can tell you that. It's for bigoted reasons. It's, the thought of it doesn't appeal to me. For the reasons that you, like, it just doesn't. I find it icky. And anyone can do whatever they want in their life. I'm not saying trans women are icky. This is my deal. This is my cross to bear. But not my cross to bear in the sense of I'm asking for pity or any BS like that. No. This is one area in my life where I am not, quote unquote, woke. Where I'm not enlightened. Where I am bigoted. I've been working on my personal transphobia, some homophobia. I can say I have some of that from just growing up in this society. It's hard not to. But to tell people, like, I'm not a bigot in some ways, or I'm not racist in some ways. In some ways, I still am racist. Even against black people. I still kind of, I have to sometimes fight it when I'm on the street and I see a black person to not, like, clutch my purse. I have that thought in the back of my mind, and then, like, I feel gross about it, but it's there, but I don't have to act on it, I don't have to, and of course I can work on it when it's there, because a lot of times, a lot of things are just programmed, but there is a part of me that is like that, and denying that part just allows that part to grow, allows that part to fester, and kind of like, a mold that's in your body that continues to grow. Because that's what happens to mold in life. If your house has mold, painting over it is saying, you know, I'm not a racist, I'm not a bigot. But we all are. It's like almost like that Avenue Q song, but they kind of got it wrong. Which is, everyone's a little bit racist. Everyone's a little bit bigoted. We all have prejudices. Especially in Western society, where it's just the way it is. Unfortunately, we live in a very cisgender normalized world. I was thinking about that a lot when a lesbian bought my book, and I thought about it, and I use a lot of he, she's in relationships. I don't use a lot of they, so if I, it just made me think that a person, because I'm writing from my own experience, but I also want to be as general as possible, and I'm thinking that I am kind of excluding her from my experience by making things into that, into the cisgender normal, which is all I know. And does that mean my next book I write will be more inclusive? I probably won't be 100% inclusive because I'll still probably have the cisgender normality because that's all I know from my personal perspective and my book is going to be me. But it's also my choice on what I do with it. And I can make it more general, use more theys instead of he, she's. Or not talk about relationships in masculine and feminine. Talk about it in just people getting together. And try to do things to make it more inclusive. And that's my choice. The same thing about being, you know, bigoted against trans people in the act of dating. That's my choice. I could work on it, or I could live with it, but at the same time, recognize that I'm the wrong person, not the trans person. I'm the person in the wrong. And that's how we stop the mold from growing. Awareness is key. And the awareness is we're all fear-based. We're all bigoted in some sort of way. We all can succumb to hate. It's part of the human condition. And I have not met anyone closely enlightened enough to say differently. They just use that spiritual ego-based BS to just... It's just a different shade of white. They're, instead of using cream, they're using eggshell. That's the only difference. That's the difference between I'm not racist or we are all one in the light of God or the source. It's still the same covering crap up. There's no difference. I don't know why I went there. I didn't expect to. I was mostly going to talk about how I just don't feel motivated because life feels overwhelming right now. So overwhelming. So I went on that little rant. Probably do more of that on the Church of Awesome on Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I guess that's enough for me. Let's talk to our guest. Woo. Hope I didn't offend. I guess I own all the offense I did to you, my dear listener, especially if you're one of Samantha's friends or fans. Everything said preceding was my opinion. They can think anything they like. But if you do want to change your life around and deal with these big enormities, Samantha is the person for you. Samantha Ruberto is a podcaster, mindset coach, and travel junkie. She helps women who know they're meant for more but aren't sure of the steps to take overcome their blocks, and attain clarity, alignment, and confidence needed to create the life they truly deserve. Her story started as she realized she had checked all of society's boxes, yet something deep inside was missing that inspired her to grab her backpack and book a one-way ticket across the world for the adventure of her life. Since then, she traveled the world and been to over 50 countries, a lot of them solo, and truly believe that the world is an incredible place. Now she hosts exotic retreats to Morocco, inspires thousands of people with her podcast, Hello, Beautiful, and coaches those who are ready to level up into attaining the mindset required to build the life of their dreams. Now here is my interview with Samantha Ruberto. Hello, Samantha, and welcome to my podcast.
Hello, Brett, and thank you. I'm glad to be here.
How are you doing on this fun morning?
I'm good. I am having a really, really beautiful day. Woke up with lots of energy. I had a killer morning routine, and I just feel set up for the day to unfold in a nice way.
Oh, that's so cool. So it says in your intro that you're a podcaster, mindset coach, and a travel junkie. So who was Samantha before that?
Who was I before that? I was essentially the same girl, but I had different layers on top of me. So that's what I'll say. I've always been this girl who I am even more now. It's just, if I were to go back 5+ years, my life looked very, very different. I was a realtor working 24/7 in a long-term relationship in the grind of the go, go, go of the everyday work life. On the outside, it was very much the white picket fence. I was checking all of the boxes. Like I said, long-term relationship, successful career, had all of the things, would go on vacation, had a beautiful home. But I remember one day between my appointments, I was driving mindlessly. There was a song playing in the background. And I was sort of in that state of conscious, subconscious, when you're kind of just like zoned out. And all of a sudden, this little voice within me whispered, life isn't fun and life's supposed to be fun. You're 27 years old. Is this how you want to live the rest of your life? And when it hit me, Brett, like I tell you, all of a sudden I was driving, and it was like, whoa, what was that? And I slowed down. I was just, what was that? When I got to my appointment, I finished that. I remember I went back home and I really slowed things down and I listened. When I did and when I gave myself the space to ask, is this how I want to live the rest of my life? The answer was a clear no. And it was really difficult, to be honest, because I was doing all of the things that you should do. I was checking all of society's boxes, but something deep down within me wasn't really happy. Then created space in my life. I took space away from my partner. I took time off of my career. And I just said, like, what is it that you really want? And when I sat with it and meditated on it, I realized that I needed to experience more, that I needed to experience the world. I was from Thunder Bay, a small little Canadian town on the shores of Lake Superior. Everything I had known up to that point was really a reflection of the environment that I have lived in here. And when I thought about it, it was like the world can offer you so much and you don't even know what's out there. So I think it's time to go just find out for yourself. I proceeded to book a one-way ticket to Thailand. I'd never backpacked. I'd never been to Asia. I'd never traveled alone. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going on the adventure of my life. When the wheels of the plane took off of the tarmac, I was so scared that I started to cry. I was sitting there on the plane, tears rolling down my face. I remember the stewardess came up. She's like, ma'am, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's okay. And I was just like, holy shit. I don't know if I can say that word on here, but oh my gosh, what am I doing? Where am I going? I don't even have a plan. But looking back now, it's like that initial trip 5 years ago was the best decision of my life, because then it preceded one trip to the other, to the other, to the other. And then since then, I've been to over 50 countries, experienced a whole lot of the world, and really just my life is completely different than it was at the time.
Looking back, what does it feel like you were missing in your white picket fence life?
You know what? I really don't think I gave myself the space at that time to tune into my heart and my purpose and what really lit me up on a deep soul level. I have a very traditional upbringing. I came from a really good family, graduated from high school, went away to a university, came back home, got a career, was successful. I just one thing in front of the other. It's like I did the next thing that you were supposed to do without actually even ever tuning in and giving myself the space to say, like, what does Samantha want? What impact does she want to have on the world? What is it that she wants to experience? I was basically just taking all of the things that you should be doing and doing those things. And yet, underneath it all, it's just like I wasn't really happy. I wasn't in alignment. I recalibrated, I would say. Like I really just stripped everything away, tuned into what I wanted, and then recalibrated the direction that I was going.
You talk about checking society boxes and what you're supposed to do next. I was curious about how do you feel about the kind of the box that society does try to place us in?
So this is really funny. And this was an interesting period in my life because, as I mentioned, I went to over 50 countries and I would go to these places, whether it was like Colombia or Vietnam or Iceland or Australia. And I would see all these different ways that people would live, different cultures, different religions, different foods, different clothing, different languages. And I was so fascinated with all of these different ways to exist. I realized on a deep level that no way was right or wrong. I remember I was on the Mekong River going on a boat. It was a public boat. There was a group of us and we were traveling from one place to the other. Every so often, as we're going down this river in Cambodia, the boat would just pull over to the side and it would look like you were like in the middle of nowhere. And then a family would just jump off, like they knew where they were going, and then just walk through these bushes and go off. And then the boat would keep going, like almost like a bus stop here. My friends and I were looking, we're like, where the heck are these people going? Where are they living? What are they doing? But you look at the smile on their face and they have literally nothing compared to what we have, and they're happy and they're playful and they're fun. It really sparked this curiosity of what is important in life. So when I would come back home from these trips, I'd see all these different ways of existing and living. And I'd look at the 9-to-5 and I'd look at the way that I was living my life here. And I started questioning the things that I would just naturally do, my habits that I had in the routines. And I just started asking myself, Is this absolute? Is this what I have to do? Do I have to go back in and come back home and get into the routine that I was always in? Or do I have a choice? Or if something doesn't feel right, could I say, I'm not going to do that. I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to do that. And then start cultivating life on my terms. And the more that I did that, the more I realized that life opened up and blossomed in ways that I couldn't have even expected.
That is so cool. One thing that interests me actually is you have this perfect life, this job, this long-term relationship. It's checking the boxes. And generally speaking, parents like it when their kids check the boxes. So how did your family react to you stepping out?
So I grew up a little bit with an untraditional family. My father traveled to Cuba lots when we were growing up. My mother, they did travel lots, but not to the extent that I took it. So I do come from a bit of a risk. They're open to the world. And to be honest, I'm really grateful that my parents just trusted me. They really didn't question what I was doing. And I think part of it is because I had built up my own success with real estate. When I was in real estate, I was very successful. I was able to buy a couple properties. I was working very hard. I was doing all the things and I was always very independent. So when I went into this, I was just, I'm going to do this. It's not going to make sense to you, but you need to trust me. And then I went off. I mean, there were moments where weeks would go by and I might not call home because when you're traveling, you're so in the moment. Like you just kind of forget to call mom and dad because you're on the beach in Thailand, having the time of your life and meeting new friends and going here and experiencing that. And you really, days go by nothing because you're so in flow and so in the moment. So like the only problem I really had with them was when they were like, are you okay? Can you check in? Like what's going on? Please keep us in touch if you're going to go on this crazy adventure across the planet. And the more that I did it with them, the one thing is the more that I went, the more trips I took, the more they trusted me and the more they realized that when I would come back, they saw this other thing sparked in me. I think secretly they were really, really proud.
So I'm curious, what got you into wanting to become a coach?
So for me, it was a mindset thing. When I would go out and have these incredible experiences, I'd come back home and people would always ask me, how are you traveling? How are you doing this? How are you living your life this way? And at this point for me, it had just become, it felt like it was easy because as I went on these experiences, I developed different mindset tricks, tips, tools, read interesting books, got different perspectives. And I was really able to peel back the layers of my own limiting beliefs, of my own boxes that I was putting myself in. The more I walked that path, the easier I saw that it was. When I talked to friends back home in my small little town, Thunder Bay, they'd often share how they could never do it, how they wouldn't be able to because of this, 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 this. And for me, I just saw it from such a different angle. I was, yeah, but what about, you know, why are you even setting yourself up that way? What if, why couldn't you? Why not? And then they would tell me their reason. And I'd say, yeah, but what about this? I just started bringing a fresh perspective to people. And little by little, the conversations I was having with my friends, they began to sort of stop, pause, and then look at their lives a bit differently. And I just noticed for me, the mindset that I had embodied or that I took on to go on the adventure, I really embodied it and was living it day by day. And people around me were constantly sort of inspired, or conversations we'd have, they'd message me and say, thank you so much. I really thought about this differently. This, I'm going to try this or do that or go for that job or ask that person out because life is short. Why not? Right? It's just, I realized on a deep level, because I was living that truth, because I was living this way of just being unapologetically myself and showing up like that, I was giving the people around me permission to peel back their layers and to do the same. Little by little, book by book, I just became more and more passionate with mindset, the power that we all have to create the lives that we want and to really go after the thing. So it really came from a place of wanting to help others step into their power and realize their unlimited ability and truth and energy that would support them as long as they would take the steps and take those leap of faith towards the things that they wanted.
Is there anything you had to do with your mindset to be able to shift to helping others?
Oh, a lot. I mean, there's so many different things I had to do. It wasn't an easy journey, but it was a journey, and it was a journey worth walking. I had to unpack so much stuff, Brett. So many different things I had to question. Where do I even start? Every single day, I would journal. I'd write. So write out, journal. I don't know if you've heard of morning pages. Have you heard of morning pages? So essentially, journaling has been my biggest tool to help process over the past 5 years. There's three things that I really find very beneficial. One is a gratitude list. So every single morning, writing out 5 things that I'm grateful for. And then every single evening, ending it with 5 things I'm grateful for. So what that does for me is that would anchor my day in looking at life from a positive lens. So instead of just waking up and letting the subconscious brain take over and going to the same mindset that I would possess before, I was putting in these little tricks to help uplift and shift my perspective. So gratitude lists are one of the most beneficial things that you can do. And they do say that gratitude is the ultimate form of receivership. If you can tap into a space of gratitude and love and just presence in the moment, you can elevate your energy and then attract the things that you want. So by doing that every single day, I noticed I could shift my energy from a place of why I shouldn't or why I can't to how can I do this? How can I get that? So that's one thing. The second thing I would do is it's a process called Morning Pages. So Morning Pages is from the book, The Artist's Way, by Julia Cameron. It's a fantastic book for anybody who wants to tap into their creative, who wants to bring play back into their life and tap into their inner joy. Essentially, what you do is every single morning, you free flow write for 3 pages straight. So you just brain dump whatever it is that's on your mind in the morning. Today, before I did it, actually before this interview, I woke up, it was a beautiful day. I'm excited for the interview. Like I just went about my day and just wrote anything that was coming to me that came through me. I dumped it on the page. And what that does is almost like meditation. People don't realize, but we get between 60 and 80,000 thoughts pinging our brains every single day. Could you imagine your phone ping, 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 80,000 times? So that's what's actually happening to our brain, but we're not really aware of it because 95% of those thoughts are actually in our subconscious mind underneath the surface. And those are the old patterns that are replaying. So when you do a process like Morning Pages, you're actually giving space for those subconscious thoughts to come out and to bring awareness to them on your page. Another way of doing this is through meditation. I'm a huge advocate of meditation. Meditation has completely shifted my perspective, has completely changed my life. And I honestly believe that meditation has the capacity to change our world. What Morning Pages does is it creates space within your mind. It creates space within what's going on within your soul. And when you have space within that place, you have more capacity to see things differently, to be more creative, to play and have fun and approach life with that different lens. And the third thing I did with journaling was clarity. Like I would write for clarity. If I ever have a question, something that really, really bothered me that I just didn't know the answer to, didn't felt like I knew, I would write on the page what the question was, what the challenge was. And then I'd put the pen down. I'd connect to my higher power, my higher source. I'd ask for the universe to help me with it. And then I would pick up a different color pen and I would actually write that answer down. Every single time I did this process, I would get an answer to the question or the overwhelm or the anxiety that I had that came from a place of source of a higher truth that would navigate my path. Those are 3 things that I really did to help work on my mindset, to work through my mindset. But it's a journey. Personal development is not like a one shot and you're through it. It is a journey. It is an everyday commitment, but it is a beautiful journey because you really do see the magic in life and how if you're willing to be open and come to life with a place of love, how life will support you in the things that you want to create and do and dream.
So I'm curious, what were the main thoughts you had to switch, that you had to work through?
When I first started traveling, like I said, I was a realtor. I was busy and I identified with being busy, being important. You know, like I was really busy. I had lots of clients. My phone was always ringing. I always had a million things. I was multitasking. So busy to me equaled important and good and successful. So that was one huge shift, was letting go of the busy monster. And one hack that I had as a realtor, when my phone was pinging at me constantly, was turning my phone on silent. I remember that the moment that I literally looked at my phone and I'm like, I am not going to do this anymore. I am not going to be a slave to this device. And even though this is my lifeline and my way of making money in my career, I'm going to take charge of it. So I remember I like, you know, just put it on silent, put it down. And that was a huge mindset shift because then I felt like I got my time back. I didn't feel like I was a slave to my phone. That was a huge mindset shift. I also realized that the less busy I was, the more productive I was. I started to close more deals. Clients respected my time more. I was more efficient. So that was a really, really big mindset shift. Another one I had was guilt. I dealt with so much guilt when I had first initially gone traveling because my clients needed me. and I had to be there. And like I said, the phone, being there available 24 hours a day, imagine shutting it off and being like, I'm going for 3 months and I'm not sure how things are going to work when I come back, but I'm just going to have faith that they will. And by giving myself that time and that space to just put me first, I could fill my own cup from the inside, and it was like this overflowing joy and love that I had tapped into, so that when I came back and to serve my clients, I was coming from such an overflowing, abundant place that everything fell into place, if that makes sense. Do you ever experience that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
So those were two big things, dealing with guilt and dealing with the busyness of life and the importance I used to attach to that.
So what does it look like working with you?
Sorry, I've been talking about real estate a lot because that's where a lot of my story had started. But now, like as a mindset coach, essentially I tell all my clients, I'm not here to fix you. Nobody here needs to be fixed. What I am here to do is to hold space for you and to see the love, the light, and the potential that you are. I tell people when they are, especially when they're first looking to get a coach and they've never had coaching and they haven't had stepped into that space of seeking outside support, it is so important that you find someone who is gentle and who has discernment, who has good judgment to what it is that you're going to be bringing to the table, because we've been judged our entire lives from society, from our parents, our teachers, everything else. It's like, without even realizing, there's constantly these judgments cast. Those in turn create limiting beliefs and cause these patterns that kind of hold us back. When it comes to coaching someone and bringing them into the safe container, one thing that I say is super important is that there is zero judgment. I am here just to see you for your dreams, for the possibility, for everything that you want to create, and help energetically hold your hand and keep you accountable to take the steps to make those things happen. My clients have completely changed their lives. And they always, every single one of them always says, I thought I came to you for this, but what I really need was this whole other thing that I didn't even realize was there. And looking back, it's just such a gift to be able to serve people in that capacity and help people see the lights that they truly are. You know, we were talking about before this podcast about light workers and turning up your light so that you can reflect that light to the world becomes a lighter and brighter place.
I love it.
Yeah.
What do you like most about being a mindset coach?
The best thing about being a mindset coach is the ripple effect. Oh, it's definitely the ripple effect. And you know, even with podcasting, because you know, with the podcast as well, it's the fact that you can have this one conversation, this one moment with someone, whether it is a fly on the wall listening to our conversation right now, or the person that I'm coaching one-to-one, they have this shift and you never know what that shift is going to create or what that shift is going to do. And I really do believe that the details of life matter, and the smile that you can give a stranger down a street or hold a door or send someone a nice message, everything has a ripple effect. And not knowing the difference that it's actually making in the world, but knowing that it's coming from a place of love and knowing that it is making a difference is the best part about it.
So you have a podcast, Hello Beautiful.
Yes.
What's it like being a podcast host?
Being a podcast host is so fun. You get to connect with really cool people all around the world who are following their passions and their creativity and just really showing up in their capacity with serving the world. What do you think? How has it been a podcast host for you?
The thing that surprises me most about being a podcast host is the variety of stories. Talking to people like you who had pretty good upbringing but still wanted more, or talking to a person who was a crack addict, homeless on the street, and then became a mindset coach. You never know how someone gets to where they are, and each story is fascinating in their own way.
Totally. Well, and the connections you can make, right? And it kind of goes back to the ripple effect that I just said. It's like, you don't know the impact that you're having, but if you put a positive message out there, if you are putting that positive post, you're changing the world one episode at a time. One thing that people like, I find when I talk to podcasters, they can somehow get caught up on numbers, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, I wish I had more views, or I wish I got more this, or I wish I had more that, whether it's podcasting, social media, whatever the posts are. But as a coach, I look at them and I said, like, you know, how many downloads did you get this today? And they'll look at me and they'll say, you know, maybe 20 or 30, whatever, or 10, whatever. And it's like, do you realize that you just spoke in front of 10 people and the shifts that you could have had, what difference you could have made in those 10 people's lives? Like, every little detail and listen and download and everything matters. And I mean, as long as you come from a place of love, that's all you can really ask of yourself.
Oh, I 100% agree. It's a wonderful process. So if anyone's listening and thinking about doing a podcast, I highly suggest it. Your own personal growth from it will be amazing.
And in a way too, like I will add to that, it's like the personal growth of like, for me, I wasn't a techie person. I used to, prior to doing the podcast, if an error screen popped up on my computer, I would see it, internally freak out, close my computer, walk away for like 3 days. Kind of creep back to my computer, open it up and hope that the error like thing was gone and that it just sort of sorted itself out. But podcasting has really got me to have to sit there and have to not react and just like walk away and pretend like, you know, abort the situation. I had to sit there and be like, okay, there's an error. How do I figure this out? School of YouTube, school of Google. I can do this, you know, and little by little, one problem at a time, I had to sit there and actually be resourceful enough to figure it out. So it's given me a lot of confidence too, in terms of like my capabilities of what I could be or what could accomplish. And that's one thing in life. It's just because I had been a realtor for so long and identified as being a realtor. Well, why can't I be a podcaster now? Just because you've done something your entire, like who's to say that I couldn't or you couldn't pick something else and start something from day one and just grow with it. It's really given a lot of confidence that anything is possible, that as long as you have your heart in it and you've got the commitment and the drive to do it, you can figure it out too. Everybody has a starting point.
Very true. Luckily, one of my starting points was I have a tech background.
Do you? Okay. So that really helps.
Curious, do you have any fun success stories to share from your coaching or podcasting?
Oh my gosh. So many success stories. One of my clients I was just working with, she was a busy mom working her 9 to 5, doing all of the things. And she had this little dream inside of her that she wanted to pursue coaching, but she didn't really know what it looked like. She didn't really know how. She wasn't really on the path at all. And so when I talked to her, she initially gave herself a 2-year deadline to step into it, to give enough time, to have enough cushion, to have like enough this, enough that to actually step into it. After we were working together, do you want to take a guess of how long it took her to actually step into her new path?
5 years?
2 months.
Oh.
So within 2 months of us working together, we started working together in January, and 2 months later, she quit her full-time job. She stepped away from it. She saw her value and her worth, and she had the confidence to pursue her dreams. And that to me, just to take somebody, give her the space for the first time in her life, speak about her dream of pursuing coaching and going after this and holding space that she could actually say, okay, I'm going to do this in 2 years. And for me to see her, yes, you can. And then every single week work with her and question and push her a little bit and kind of help her. She just not only spoke her dream, brought awareness to it, but actually took it from 2 years to 2 months. To me, that's success. That's helping her step into her power. And now I see her coaching and helping other women and showing other women it's possible. That lights me up. That's pretty fun to look at, to think that just because we work together, she's literally walking the path of her higher power. I think it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. We are coming to the end of our time together. And one thing I like to ask my guests is do a 1 minute of motivation. You can imagine this as if you have a time machine and you're going back to your 8-year-old self and you want to convey everything you need to live a happy, joy-filled life. But unfortunately, you only have a minute until you're plopped back into the future. Or you can think of it as taking your entire life's message and purpose and condensing it down to a minute. So you ready?
I am ready.
Let's go.
You are meant for such amazing things in this lifetime. Listen to your heart, tune in, give yourself space to be able to play and tap into what your heart desires. Your heart will always guide you in the right direction. You just need to listen to it and have faith. Take the leap, go after the things you want. There is a higher plan for you. There is a path that you will be walking that's going to light the way for other people to do it. This is not about just you. It is about walking that path and showing others that it's possible. So shine bright, turn up your light, and put a smile on your face and go, because the world is waiting for you to shine. Has it been a minute? I don't know.
However long it was very beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha, for being on my podcast. I really enjoyed listening to your journey of somebody who seemed to have it all and fit perfectly in that societal box. But you allowed spirit, source, or whatever you want to call it, to talk to you, and you listened to it and spent time and figured out what you needed to truly shine in this world. And I know there's a lot of people out there to believe that there's more to life than what they're living now. So to listen to someone's story who went through the similar things and were able to step out and go travel and enjoy life, and then to come back and help other people do the same, is even more special. So thank you so much for everything you do, and thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure. Thank you for everything you're doing. I just have to acknowledge you and the light that you are.
May your day be special.
You too.
And there you have it, folks. That is my interview with Samantha Roberto. Yeah, sometimes in life you just have to take a leap of faith. It's not just the people who are out there who don't understand what they're doing with their life and then mess up and mess up, mess up. There are people who have a blessed life, but it's not what exactly they're supposed to be. There's just something special, absolutely special, about living your purpose and truly being able to tap into that purpose, a way to serve in the way that you're meant to serve. And this doesn't have to mean everyone is a coach. I have a friend who I've worked with the Lightworker Toastmasters, and she is an amazing assistant. And yes, she's taking more leadership roles because she's good at being a leader and running things, but she is at her happiness helping someone else live the life of their purpose. You could see that. Listen to Wayne Dyer and Kyle Cease, both of them talk about their assistants who absolutely love what they do, and they're living their purpose. And this could be a garbage person, because those are needed. And if your purpose is to help clean up the garbage, because that is something that is needed, and to best provide for your family and raise your family so they can live their purpose, and because this is not to look down on anyone for doing anything. Some people are more meant to help other people, and other people are more meant to serve others in other ways. And I'm not talking about anything along the lines of this is what you're supposed to do, and someone's supposed to make that decision for you. This is up to you, because I'm somebody like my dad, who likes, one of his purposes to raise his kids and give them the best life, and he's perfectly happy with just having a job that allows him to do that and raise a family. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think a lot of times we think our purposes need to be grand, but they just need to be fulfilling. So if you want to work on living your fulfilling purpose, it's time for you to talk to Samantha and check out her website at SamanthaRoberto.com. That's Roberto with a U. Of course, it'll also be in the show notes. And definitely make sure to check out her weekly podcast, Hello Beautiful, Beautiful. She drops a new episode every Thursdays, and it's a super inspiring place. If you're ready and looking to level up your life, and don't hesitate to reach out to her. Having the accountability of the right coach can make all the difference in your personal and professional growth. Finally, don't forget to follow her on Instagram, Hello Beautiful You. That's BEYOUTIFUL. Beautiful. That's why I keep on saying it weird. You know, beautiful is a beautiful. It's a fun play on words. And that is episode 74 of the Joyous Expansion Life Coach. If you like it, like, subscribe, do all those fun things. Also, if you don't like it, whatevs. You listened to it this far, and it's weird of you to not like it. Want to listen to more? Go to pod.joyousexpansion.com. If you want to email me at anyreason at BRE2Ts, DUPR2Es at joyousexpansion.com. You can find me on Instagram at Joyous Expansion, Twitter at Joyous Expansion, LinkedIn at Joyous Expansion, and Facebook at Increase Your Joy, because I am bad at SEO. You can also check out my website at joyousexpansion.com. Also, you can find me at the Church of Awesome. So if you like this, share. I love you for who you are. I am Brett Dupree, your champion, authentic joy catalyst of transformation for the Church of Awesome, and your Joyous Expansion Life Coach, wishing you once again to be love, to be joy, to be awesome. Now play my jingle.
JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Come and say hello to Brett Dupree. is an inspirational life coach. Good for you and good for me. He turned my life from gray to blue. I'm sure he'll do the same for you. Get in touch and you'll see your life will change dramatically. JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Yeah.